come to your word now. We just ask for your blessing. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that because your word is truth, Lord, it's the living word. It doesn't leave us the same. So, Father, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for where we've been selfish, where we've missed the mark, for where we've put ourselves ahead of others, whether in word or deed or thought. Lord, forgive us for where we've gotten on the throne and tried to push you aside. Father, you are God. We are not. So as we come this morning to your word, Lord, speak to us. Use your truth to change us from the inside out. Bless us and make us a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Uncommon unity, resolving conflict. We are on our last week of this series. And as we come to the word, one of the things that I really wanted to touch on is at first I was thinking, you know, how do we deal with people with critical spirit? And then as I was praying more about it, God was saying, you know what? All of us deal with being a critical spirit. So rather than dealing with somebody else having a critical spirit, I just really felt like the Lord was leading me more towards how do we deal with the critical spirit within us? Because all of us have areas in our lives where we try and get on the throne a little bit, where we try and take over or be more aggressive with different people or have a critical spirit with different people in our lives. Maybe there's old wounds that have caused walls to go up. And so as we come forward, we treat maybe a certain person differently. Maybe we don't even say things, but we feel things and we think things on the inside. So I really wanted to hit, how do we address the critical spirit that is within us? And so how do we get rid of the heart of the Pharisee in us? So we're hitting John 7, 37 through 52. Do you know Jesus? On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, what are you thirsting for? Guys, what are you thirsting for? God wants to speak into your lives, and we'll go a little bit later in the message, coming back to that scripture of some of the references from the Old Testament. But what are you thirsty? What is it that you thirst for today in your lives? Because one of the reasons we get critical in our spirit is because we desire things that are not honoring to God. That sometimes they're even good things, but they're not what's best and what God would have us really put at the head of our lives. And so what are you thirsting for? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Have you ever been really thirsty? Yesterday working, there were some guys that got pretty thirsty. We had some water out. Have you ever had a time where you went a long time without a drink? Where you didn't have an opportunity to get water and you started feeling weak? You started getting, you know, that no water headache that comes? Guys, when we thirst for what quenches, what we need, what the body needs. And here's Jesus, and he's at the end of this time, and it's the end of this festival, and as he's sharing, he's referring back to some Old Testament scriptures from Leviticus. And he's talking about how come and quench your thirst on me. What's he saying with that? When he's saying, if you're thirsty, come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, what is he saying there? Trust him forever? Who is he saying he is? He's the one who can quench the thirst. You see, he's making a statement here, which is pretty amazing. He's saying the Old Testament scriptures in Leviticus, the ones that talk about the... You can have that thirst quenched in me. Well, what do you think people say to this? We're going to look at, there's three responses right off the gate here. In verse 40, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. And this is referring back to the promise from Deuteronomy 18 about the prophet who will rise up. And so they're thinking, this man, surely he's the prophet. Others said, he's the Messiah. Others heard what he said, and they understood from the scriptures, he's saying he's the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town of David, where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Guys, this third group, they didn't even know where Jesus came from. The judgment was being passed. Have you ever had anybody pass judgment and they don't know the facts? We live in a world right now where we hear this and that and the other. All the information coming at us is as though it's fact. I don't know what's fact anymore, especially when it comes to the news. There's so many stories, and so often people will talk, and we in the church, we need to have a different voice. We in the church need to not be about the agenda. We need to be about our Lord Jesus and walking in love and the spirit of truth and love rather than confusion. But they didn't even know where he's from. And that division that they had back then is the same kind of division that we can experience now. Because one of the things that's at the heart of a critical spirit is divisiveness. Divisiveness. Not being together, not being in unity, not going in the same direction. And the people are divided about who Jesus is. And what we're seeing here is that a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. A little bit of knowledge is dangerous. They don't know much about Jesus, but they've made decisions and they're getting in their camps. Let's read on. He came from the right place. They just didn't know. Yes, Bethlehem. John 7:45. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees who had asked them, why didn't you bring him in? Guys, the guards, see, they had gone to arrest Jesus. They were on authority given from who? The Pharisees, the chief priests, the guys in charge, the religious leaders. And they had said, go arrest him. And so they'd gone on mission to arrest him. And then when they come back, the chief priests and the Pharisees ask them, why didn't you bring him in? They're empty-handed. They don't have Jesus with them. And their response to this question is absolutely amazing. And it's this verse is the heart of the scripture that we're going over. And this is in verse 46. No one ever spoke the way this man does. No one ever spoke this way before. They had gone to arrest Jesus. They were on mission. And as they heard him speak, as they heard him speak about the living water, as they heard him speak about him being God, him being the truth, him being the way, as they heard him speak, what happens? Their hearts, And they had gone on mission, but the officers were disarmed by the truth about Jesus. And guys, think about this. If you are in a position where you're answering to somebody in authority and doing something wrong, you can get in real big trouble for. And you come back and you haven't done what's been asked of you, what do they not say? Well, we heard him speak and we were worried about a riot and they could have given a lot of different answers, right? They could have passed the buck. Why did you have us go there? It was a dangerous situation. That there were a lot of responses. But something about Jesus touched them, and they just came across open-hearted before these Pharisees. And they say, no one has ever spoken like him before. Now, was it that he was a great speaker, eloquent? I don't know if you've ever read any of the speeches by Lincoln. If you ever get a chance to read Lincoln's, any of his speeches. But there's so many. He was an orator. He was an incredible communicator. The way that he got the message across and the authority and the power that he spoke with was amazing. This is not what these men are talking about right there. They're not talking about an incredible communicator. They're saying no one ever spoke like this man. In other words, he spoke as one who was in authority, who was God. And something about what he said touched them. Verse 47. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. See, the guards, what are they saying about the guards? They're saying, number one, the guards were blinded. They're saying, you guys were blinded by deception. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. So what are they saying? They're saying, number one is, hey, you guys, you've been deceived. And then they're saying, and the mob, they're cursed. You know what that's like saying? That's like a pastor going to his congregation and saying, you're cursed. It's the leaders saying to the people, they're cursed. Why? Because what are the Pharisees doing? They're blaming everybody else. Guys, when we know that a critical spirit is a part of our lives, we're removing ourselves from the problem and we're seeing everyone else as the problem. All situations as the problem. We're not in there. Guess what? When we make decisions, the consequences flow from those decisions. And we need to take responsibility for those things. But here are these Pharisees, and they're saying, you've been deceived. You're cursed. And then in verse 50, Nicodemus. Anybody remember Nicodemus, who had had a little private chat with Jesus and really dealt with the issue of real salvation in that conversation? Something had happened to the heart of Nicodemus. This is the second time we hear about him. And it's Nicodemus who had gone, in verse 50, Nicodemus who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, he's one of the Pharisees, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing? What's he saying? Guys, you don't even know where he's from. You guys are willing, you don't even know, you don't know anything about him, and you're willing to condemn on this little bit of half-truths. Guys, we got to be so careful to not know and think with our feelings. The feelings that we have are very real, but they're not always right. And when we think emotionally, it's very easy for us to have creep in, first as a foothold and then as a stronghold, a critical spirit. and have the heart of the Pharisee. Does our law not condemn a man? Law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? What's their reply? They replied, "Are you from Galilee? Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." They're still going on wrong information. And now they're, as soon as even one of their own stands out and says, "Guys, we need to hear the whole story. We don't condemn without first finding out what's going on. We don't judge on that before we..." And their instant response is, "You're against us. And are you from the same..." You guys are from the same clan, aren't you? You've got an inside reason on this, don't you? Nicodemus, what's your deal? And as soon as somebody stands up for another, they're a part of the problem too. Guys, have you ever had the heart of the Pharisee? Is there a specific person that causes you to think differently? When you deal with other people, you've got grace. When you come to that person, whew, here's my wrath. And best of all, you deserve it. We can even feel good about bringing the heat. They accused him of bias. You see, arrogance creates a critical spirit. And these men were arrogant. They were full of themselves. They knew the answers before they even heard the situation. You guys, in marriage, in friendships, at work, we need to be very careful. I at least know for me, it is very easy for me to judge quickly, to make an emotional response and move forward, and to justify my response. And what do we need to have in us? We need to have the flowing water. We need to have the Holy Spirit, God Himself. There's one thing that prevents us from taking people down relationally, emotionally. There's one thing that causes us to stop and not hear from the little that we think we know, but to hear from God first. And that's if we turn and go to the source of our strength. The problem is self-righteousness blinds us. When you know you're right, you can't see straight. And one of the things that's interesting is righteousness, with just a little bump, turns into self-righteousness. And so we need to be so, so careful not to be blinded by our agenda. Colossians 3:8 says, "Now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." That scripture, that was the heart of the Pharisee. These guys are set. Now, who are the Pharisees? The religious leaders. They are the ones that are responsible. They're the pastors of the day, the ones who are responsible for bringing the truth to the people. God's truth. And as time has gone on, they've got further and further away from bringing that truth across. And more of the truths are really sacred cows, traditions, man's idea of right and wrong. You want to see wrath of people? Come against some sacred cows. Come against some traditions that have always been done a certain way. One of the reasons Jesus was so hated was because people thought he was rebellious, because he stood against the sacred cows. And he said, "God's truth is more important than fitting in." and doing the same old, same old. Not only that, he did it not with the agenda of man, which is to get his, he did it in a way that honored the people around him. And when you've got bitterness and anger and slander in your heart, when that is a part of what we are dealing with, it's very hard to see the goodness in somebody else. It's very hard to accept anything that they bring forward. But we must rid ourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips. So what did the guards heard? No one ever spoke the way this man has. They heard a man who said, "I am God. I am God." Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." They were referring to his claims, guys. On the last day of the festival, it talked about in Leviticus 23:39, the priest brought forth in golden vessels, I love this, water from the streams of Shiloh, which flowed under the temple mountain, and solemnly poured it upon the altar. This is what they did. This is what Jesus is referring to. And the words of Isaiah 12:3 were sung, "With joy you will draw wet water from the wells of salvation." And it all leads to this, that one question: what do you thirst for? What do you desire? Where is your heart, guys? Where is our heart? Because when we desire something that is not of the Lord, it's so easy to get off. Some other claims that Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Guys, what do we do to get rid of this beast within us, this heart of a Pharisee? We turn to the one who gives us strength. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. I want to end with just another little thought on the story that's been shared. Chet saw the beam, saw the number. Sometimes things, you know what's amazing is when God is working, he's not just working on our hearts alone. Like I had started to share a little bit at the beginning of the service, I had an uneasiness of the kind of things that could go wrong in a job that big. And as I was praying, as other people, I talked to a few other guys, and God spoke to all of us in different ways. And when God speaks, he's communicating the same truth. Husband, wife, if God's speaking his truth, he's saying the same thing to both of you. He's not saying one thing to the husband and another to the wife. He's saying the same message. Co-workers, church, family, when he's speaking to us, he's saying the same thing to us. And we need to be humble of heart to hear. I love that when God speaks, he speaks to many, and we hear him in different places, in different ways, but we hear the same message as we're turning to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? What is he saying to you personally in your life? What is he asking you to set aside? Let me ask you this. Who's that person in your life that you've got the heart of the Pharisee for? I know who it is in mine. I've got one face that shows up instantly when I ask myself that question. And he's sitting right... No, I'm teasing. Gotcha. Guys, often it's people that we've known longer, isn't it? Often it's family or dear friends where there's been a break in the relationship. You see, the enemy wants to build into us a response that is, we're hardened of heart, and therefore anytime this person does anything, we have the heart of the Pharisee, and we say, I knew it. She's always that way. He never stops doing that. And all of a sudden, our language becomes ultimatum. It's that there. It's always this way. It's this ultimate language. It's always happens this way. And our hearts get full of judgment. And we see the worst in the other person. And at every turn, at every voice that they give to us, we've judged them already. And guys, the thing about the heart of the Pharisee that really spoke out to me about this scripture was, when you have a critical spirit, you get what's really happening wrong. They had no idea where Jesus was from. But they knew where he was from, and it was wrong. When we have a critical spirit, we've so judged the person's heart that we judge their actions. And they can do no right. What is God saying to you? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to say, God, I'm willing to give this person to you? Because, guys, one of the things that the enemy wants to do is through that heart of the Pharisee, through that judgmental spirit, that critical spirit, he wants to cause us to live outside of freedom in Christ. Because when I'm judging another, I'm not receiving the forgiveness that I have in Christ. Because when I receive the Christ that I have in it, the forgiveness I have in Christ, then I turn to my brother or sister and I give what I've gotten. Forgive as Christ forgave you, not because they deserve it. Guys, did you hear that? That's the hard part of grace. That's the hard part of love. That's the hard part of forgiveness, is we don't forgive somebody because they deserve it. We honor God by forgiving that person. When I forgive them, I'm giving away what I've freely received from Christ. If you need to do a business with God, if you need to come to a place, maybe you've forgiven them with your mouth, but not your heart. Maybe you need to pray, God, get me to the place where I want to forgive this person. Because the truth is, I was just talking about this with some friends. Sometimes when we are having a hard time forgiving, and the truth is, we know who we are with that hatred inside of us. I know who I am with this hate and bitterness. Because we've defined ourselves, especially if it's an old wound, we've defined ourselves, we've built the walls up around us so that we protect ourselves so other people can't come in. Because of this unforgiveness towards this person. And when we forgive somebody in Christ, God is tearing down those walls. And And in a sense, we don't have that to hold on, that bitterness to hold on to anymore. And so now we got to hold on to Christ with both hands and say, my identity is in you. I don't know who I am if I let go of this, but I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust. Don't allow the past hurts to define you, to define who you are. Guys, uncommon unity. Uncommon unity. In Christ, we have the ability, even in brokenness, even in when there's some missteps, in Christ, we have the ability to still be unified, to forgive and come together. I want to encourage you, let go of some of those old wounds. Trust God. Give them to Him. And then pray for the strength to truly forgive that person. And then trust God with it. I'm choosing, yes. I'm choosing to trust you in this. And I forgive them because you first forgave me. And guys, this will create in us a heart that is open, that is full of joy and peace. We will experience the fruit of the Spirit. And the enemy wants to shut that down. Don't allow the enemy any victory. Don't allow yourself to be in the spiritual relational cell. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. So let's walk in step with the Spirit of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the living water. Lord, you are holy. Your Holy Spirit cleanses us. Father, we ask for forgiveness for our sins. Father, we thank you that you forgive us our sins. As we are faithful and just to forgive those who sin against us. Father, there are some here that those old wounds run so deep and so painful. We ask right now that they would experience a new identity in that area with that person in you, Lord, that there would be forgiveness given. And they would no longer be held in bondage to the anger and bitterness of the wound. Father, we pray that none of us would have the heart of the Pharisee. That none of us would have a critical spirit. Lord, we desire to be like you. We desire to be quick to forgive. Lord, thank you that you deal with our sin and you have dealt with it once and for all. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would trust you, not ourselves, to be the judge and jury, but we would trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.